And welcome back to the Cinemania World Podcast, everyone. My name is Dwayne, and today we have another episode of the Cinemania Live Show. I am joined by my co-host. We have Hannah Louise. Hello.
Hey.
Welcome back. You're finally back here. How are back. You?
I'm good.
And I don't start. Anyway.
What do I do?
We're also joined from the Cinemania World team in the box office report show. We have Larry, the Chili Boy, the Chilson. Hello.
Hey.
Welcome back, Larry. How you doing on the live show? We used to only do these for like Marvel releases, remember? Now it's like whenever I want to drag Larry onto a live show.
That's wild, like that. Y'all. I'm just living my life, and Dwayne be popping up.
And he just be getting yelled at, you know, all through the chat until he gets on air. So,
welcome. The Nuggets and the Avalanche are both up in their series right now, so we're good.
I'm so down in sports. I don't know who's winning. I don't know if the Celtics are in or out of anything. Are they in anything, Larry? What's going on here?
They're there, but they having a battle for their life with them Heat already, so... I don't know, Celtics fans, we're back to the usual with y'all.
And they always fucking something up, too, so.
Poor Hannah, she don't even know what we're, and we're talking about,
I don't even know what about
technically a sports movie today, so what?
Yeah, the main thing is going to be like challengers, and Hannah couldn't tell me a thing about tennis. I couldn't as well, so let me not. Larry on the chat was talking about, Larry was like, oh, someone serve. I was like, fuck me. I don't know, man.
Josh O'Connor serve. I mean, I know it was kind of a bit for the movie, but whoo, they didn't have to make that serve that hideous. Oh, my goodness.
All right, everyone. We're discussing we'll take some mailbag today. We're going to get into Challengers. It's like our main movie that we want to discuss this week, this weekend and everything. So... let's start the podcast by just kind of doing a little catch up here. Anna, what you been watching? What you been doing? The people want to know.
I feel like
they're calling Hannah fraudulent in these streets.
I feel like once again I've just been listening to a lot of music, honestly. No. I've been gearing up for some album releases, I fear. But what I've been watching, I went and seen Monkey Man.
Wasn't messing with Monkey Man.
It was fine.
Yeah,
it was fine.
She didn't like it.
Yeah. Crazy. I like the direction a lot, and I think that Dev Patel is very talented and very pretty and very sexy. But I feel like just the narrative didn't really ever come together for me fully. So that was like kind of a letdown. And then I watched Upgraded. I don't know if either of you have watched.
This is what my issue is, man. You gonna make time for them streaming horrific movies, man. You gonna make the time. I don't get it.
You said you're gonna make the time.
You gonna make the time for like the trash bag, Netflix, Amazon Prime Video one-offs, and then shit, man.
I watched that. It was bad.
Yeah, we could have told you that before you clicked play. Shit.
I did watch it, though, at like 4 a.m. one night. I said, let me tune in. It was bad. And then I watched Lisa Frankenstein. Did not like it. I really didn't like it, actually.
You see, and she's always wondering why we accuse her of not liking anything. Three movies in, three movies she's watched she hated or didn't like. We'll say didn't like.
I liked Monkey Man. Monkey Man, it was a 3 out of 5 for me. Lisa Frankenstein is a 1.5. Upgraded is a 2.5.
Oh, Lisa Frankenstein. That's crazy.
But listen. I'm coming from the perspective of like a Jennifer's Body like super fan, and the entire like press tour for Lisa Frankenstein, it was Diablo Cody like being like, this is my new Jennifer's Body, and she just kept referencing Jennifer's Body. So I went in with very high expectations because Jennifer's Body is like in my top 25 favorite movies of all time. So for me to go into this and it to be like a Diablo Cody like light script, it just felt like she was chasing the Jennifer's Body like magic and it never ever touched that magic throughout the entirety of the movie. And also it just felt like very like wishy-washy to me, like the entire time, because it was marketed as like a Valentine's Day movie and it's not a romance movie. So I was very frustrated the entire time because I was like, oh, I want, like, the movie wants you to want these two to get together, but they're pining over different people the entire time. And then at the end of the movie, when they do get together, I'm like, why do I care about them? I don't care about this relationship, like, at all, actually. And also, I just didn't find it funny. I thought that, like I said,
well, that's fair. I thought it was painfully light unfunny.
Script. So I was like, it's not doing anything for me. And then on top of that, the lead is just very, like, boring and uncharismatic. She's not Megan Fox or Amanda Seyfried. So I was like, it's really, she's, like, actually actively bad in it. I was very frustrated because Cole Sprouse, I'm not a Cole Sprouse fan. I actively don't like Cole Sprouse and like everything that I've seen him in, but he's very good in this and he doesn't say a single word. He outacts Catherine Newton at every turn in the movie and he doesn't have any lines of dialogue. I was just frustrated. It was a frustrating
Is there
watch.
A movie where you think the woman lead is on the level with the male lead? Because I feel like every time...
Challengers!
Like, he's always saying the male lead is acting circles around the female lead in almost every occasion.
Clock that ish.
Listen, Lisa Frankenstein, by no means, I do not... I don't care. I don't dislike it, but I also don't like it. I think it's like fairly in the middle for me. It's not a 1.5. That's like Madam Web and Argyle and shit, bro. Come on now.
I did not like it. It was a very frustrating experience for me.
You see Madam Web yet?
No. Why would
you haven't? No, I'm just curious. I'm trying to see what the horrible movies you haven't seen just yet. Like.
Yeah, no, you know? I don't think I'm gonna watch Madam Web. I've kind of watched it maybe through like YouTube videos of people making fun of it.
that doesn't count. What the hell?
I've seen like a lot of it.
Well, Larry, how about you? You know, you watch Air Thing. So what's up? Did you see that boy kills world shit?
I did.
You saw that shit too?
I did.
You did?
Yeah. I saw Boy Kills World.
How was that?
That was good. It starts a little wonky because the humor, it doesn't fully hit for me. But once they kind of get the ground of what they want in the second and third act, they settle into a tone better. But the first act, I was like, oh, shit, what am I in for? But no, it gets good. It's super bloody, super crazy. I know nobody else watched it.
John Wick-esque movies.
It's a revenge movie, but it's hyper stylized, so it's not really in the vein of a John Wick. It's much more, they rely a lot more on like the humor and the blood and madness rather than John Wick, so it's more stylized than that type of action movie. So nobody else watched it, but I watched the new Disney Nature movie, Tiger, for Earth Day on Monday. It was very cute. I learned some things, which, you know, is the goal of these Disney Nature movies. Dwayne, why don't you celebrate Earth Day? Hannah, you too, with your old plastic trifling ass. I know both of y'all had lights on. You were running water all day, electricity, full stop, probably threw away 20 million pieces of plastic on Earth Day, didn't you?
Damn, chill on me. I actually recycle.
On Earth Day, so yes, I can't remember.
And I
Hannah was like, I was two drinks to the wind on Earth Day. I don't remember what happened. But no, yeah, it was really cute. Obviously, watched Abigail. So one of the mystery movies, y'all know I go to the mystery movies. Mm-hmm. They were wild for this. They played that new anime, Spy X Family, at a mystery movie, which I think is low-key wild. I saw Crunchyroll pop up in the first credit, and I was like, oh, shit. These folks in this little mystery movie are in for it, because I know they did not bargain for an anime tonight.
I would have been pissed.
It's why, well, because it's also this, it's based on a show that has two seasons. So there's two seasons of a show, and now they release this movie So it's like, oh, we're already behind two seasons. That's wild for a mystery movie. I don't know.
That would be like showing the Evangelion movie.
Yeah.
Mystery movie.
It's crazy. Low-key, I don't want Hannah to watch Abigail.
Why?
Stay away, Hannah.
It's gonna be just like all the rest of these movies you just talked about. You're not gonna
like it. You didn't like Megan, of course. Yeah, so you ain't about to rock.
It's a lot bloodier than Megan.
Hannah last year was like, I didn't mind Scream 6 on air. And then on Twitter, she's just, you know, dragging Scream 6. Nah, man. Did you like Ready or Not?
I do. I love Ready or Not.
Yeah. It's between Megan and Ready or Not in like tone.
I will say, listen, Larry and Tyler was trying to like double team my thoughts on old girl, but she ain't good in this either. I don't know, man. She's just, it ain't for me, you know? I just want to see her in some other stuff.
She's not the best. That's the problem for Catherine Newton in Abigail. I thought she was very good, but there's just at least three, maybe four actors that are better than her in the movie. So
you know what I want for Catherine Newton? I want her to have the same arc that Melissa Barrera is having right now, because Melissa Barrera is like actively very bad in Scream 5. I think it's one of the worst like lead horror performances that I've ever seen. She's like really bad in it.
I don't disagree. I think that's a great sum of everything, because every single thing I've seen her in,
like, she's gotten progressively better.
Yeah, like I loved her in Abigail. I loved her, definitely loved her in Scream 6. Scream 5, I was like, I don't know, man. This is the new I think we should go. I think around Scream 5, I was like, let's go ahead and give this to Jenna. Cause I don't know what was, there was a disconnect for me. It's like that part where she's like, help, somebody's trying to kill me. I was like, oh shit, man.
Like, y'all didn't get another take.
I was like, man, not my GOAT franchise, man. This is kind of crazy. So I actually don't disagree, but now I'm like all for the Melissa Barrera stuff and projects. So
I haven't seen Abigail yet, but she looks very good in it.
She's good. Yeah, Larry, you agree or what?
I loved her in Abigail. I don't think she was the worst lead I've ever seen in
a Scream. I won't say the worst lead, but I will agree.
She's definitely not good and gets outshined by Jenna Ortega for sure in Scream 5. But
I didn't say she was the worst. I said it was one of the worst.
Yeah, I was going to say, Hannah, don't play. You said about damn near the worst lead I've ever one seen in a horror worst. Movie. You said it was close to the bottom of the worst. Like, now she's like, I didn't say worst. I said one of. The worst. Okay.
I should say maybe like one of the worst in like mainstream horror movies, because there's a lot of like, you know, smaller horror movies with bad performances throughout. Not even just leads, like everyone's bad in it. Or is like kind of like
I hate me a bad final girl, man. I'll start beefing over a bad final girl. Like, here's one, Hellfest. You ever seen that? The final girl in that one is horrible.
It's disappointing. God, she's so... The rest of Hellfest, I actually like.
I have such a good time with.
So cool, and the killer's really cool. God, that final
girl, and she has a. And I hate me a final girl who does not finish the job. Like, ooh. one of my most hated things is like in a horror movie where like you have the killer down, and then you just run.
Yeah.
Yo, beat his ass. Like Sydney and Jamie Lee, they taught y'all to beat their ass until they done. What you doing? She hit him with like some prosthetic arm in that movie, and then she just ran. I was like, oh, Jesus, I hate me a bad final girl.
There was what was the latest horror movie? I feel like I just watched one not too long ago that was literally
a bad final girl.
It was so frustrating that they kept like hitting and then running. And I was like, what the fuck?
Is it a slasher? Like, I mean, I don't.
Oh, it was. I feel like it was this year, too. Maybe I need to look through my letterbox because was I was like, it just.
Oh, was it that movie that you liked that you told me to keep telling me to watch?
Oh,
was it the Founder's Day?
I mean, that is definitely one of them where you're like, bitch, if you don't take this man out, I am tired.
Yeah, I can't stand. I mean, you'll make me turn on a final girl quick if they're like making dumb decisions and like they don't fuck shit up.
That's how you know. See, that's how you know it's bad because Founders Day centers on two lesbians. Like, we have a lesbian lead, and I still, it is like the worst thing I've seen this year. So,
Lord, yeah,
you know, you already kind of got to edge up if it's gay in my book. Like, it starts on another level, and if you're still just so wretched that I put you at the bottom, you know that shit is bad.
They slash them. I wanted to love you so bad.
Oh, that was horrible.
I wanted to love you so bad.
Horrible.
They
slash. I'm very interested to see when you watch Love Lies Bleeding.
I'm gonna watch that today. Literally, that's like my plans for after we get off the call. I'm gonna watch.
I wonder what your thoughts on. I feel like you'll love how it ends up, but it's been all over Twitter already. But I feel like you'll
muted it when the movie like.
Oh, you did? Theaters. Wow, yeah.
Twitter is so wild.
So this is what I'll say about Twitter and like recent movies. Twitter is like really like I feel like if you are someone who works like a tiring job, you can't go out to these movies until like I know people who like can't go to the movies or new release until like Tuesday, Wednesday, right? Alex was actually one of those people. He couldn't go until like Wednesday. I feel like people, as soon as the movie releases, it's like plot points and everything is like discussed. Thursday I was seeing that shot with the fucking tennis ball.
I was all seeing over the Twitter. Shot, but I didn't see the content.
Yeah. I was like, and they're all like, if you understand what this means.
Zendaya herself posted it.
Oop. Yeah, I think that's wrong. I think can we get a couple of days people to watch these things before we start posting big plot points and whatnot? And
people have been posting that makeout scene immediately. Like, people have been posting. I mean, oh God, I can't stand Twitter right now. What is going on?
I've seen challengers all over Twitter. This, you know, I don't mind discussions of like, oh, you know, it's a great film, yada, yada, yada. But like, people are just hopping right into the spoilers. Oh my God, that last shot when Zendaya. And I'm like, man, this is getting crazy. But
so wait, Hannah, have you only liked two movies you've seen this year?
hold on, let me look.
Is it literally Dune and Challengers, and that's the only thing you liked?
I liked Monkey Man. I liked Monkey Man.
See what I mean? Dwayne, we can't have her on the Best Of show. She don't like nothing. How's she going to make a Best Of list?
I liked Challengers, Dune 2, and Monkey Man, yeah.
I've been...
I mean, granted, she's seen like 9 films, so...
Yeah, that's crazy. I haven't seen a whole lot.
It's, but... She avoided everything this year. Like, everything!
You know what?
Watch something and not upgraded.
The thing is, with this year in particular, I don't know why, but I feel like all of the like the movies that have been really good have been limited releases, and I live in like buttfuck nowhere, so my theater doesn't get any of them, and I don't want to drive 2 hours to go see a movie, so nice. I've just been waiting for them to hit digital, like Love Lies Bleeding. I'm like, yep. I will be seated.
I just remember, I just...
Problemista, please.
Problemista, Love Lies Bleeding, and then something else.
Problemista
just dropped on digital recently. What was it? It was something else, and I'm gonna watch that. Oh, I watched Immaculate. I didn't like Immaculate, by the way.
What?
Yeah.
Are we shocked? Are we shocked? Really?
Well, I didn't. I thought Immaculate was fine. I didn't like love it. You know, my ears were.
I just thought it was kind of stupid.
Ah, oh, man, then don't watch The First Omen, bro. That I will start beefing with you. Okay, being back.
I think I've heard stuff about The First Omen, and it seems like The First Omen would be more my thing than Immaculate. I don't know.
I don't know, bro.
Do you like the actual, like the OG, The Omen?
No, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Because they try to get the tone of that with this. Like, they try to get, like, the music is actually really similar. My grandma did a binge this weekend of, or last weekend of all the Omen movies. And I could hear the music. I was like, damn, I didn't realize they got this score. Like, they really, without copying the score, they really do a good job of evoking that score and music in this new one. But it's they're really similar until they're not with Immaculate and The First Omen.
That's what I've heard. I have a group chat.
The first hour are identical. the first stretch of the movies is literally
The First Omen and Immaculate.
Yeah, dude. The same movie up until like, the point.
It's the lead gets into town, meets a priest, goes to the school, and then we're off to the races. That is both movies. It is actually uncanny how similar Immaculate and
that's crazy that they released like with the same time frame,
like 2 weeks apart.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts to me. So, what's the next one? Like, what's the next big one coming out that you're gonna try to go? I don't, Larry. I'm gonna be blunt, man. It's Fall Guy.
I'm interested in going to see Fall Guy because
that trailer just turned me against it.
Don't do it.
Okay, listen. I don't like Emily Blunt. I love Deadpool 2. I didn't like Bullet Train, but I love Deadpool 2. So I really want to go watch it.
I just think the trailer just really turned me against it. That's what's happening. These like excessive, I don't know if it's ever been this bad, but I feel like we got nothing coming out. And the theaters are playing the same four trailers. And honestly, I don't want to see any of them anymore. I don't want to see Bad Boys. I don't want to see Furiosa. I don't want to see fucking Fall Guy. I don't want to see anything.
As somebody who doesn't watch trailers like at all really anymore, I watched the like most recent Furiosa trailer in theaters last night for the first time. Oh my god, it looks so fucking good. That new one looks great.
They keep mine. I don't know. I gotta get out of Methuen. Mine just like keep showing the first one. And it's good the first 10 times. And it's like, God, the Bad Boys one is like turning into my Gran Turismo one. Just driving me insane.
I haven't seen the Bad Boys one.
Oh, it's horrific. I'm so fucking excited for it.
Remember when Thanksgiving read the dog shit out of Methuen? when I was in that theater hollering, when he's like, bitch, I know you coming from that little prissy ass Methuen, huh?
Goodbye.
Why are you calling
him? I was like, ooh, he clocked the fuck out of Dwayne. Damn. Right there in Thanksgiving. Ooh.
I don't know if it's that theater too. I gotta get up out of there, bro. But I don't know. Let's jump into the mailbag
Can I say one more thing about Furiosa? Chris Hemsworth looks so good. His performance is gonna be so fucking good in Furiosa.
It didn't click to me until like the fourth time I watched the trailer that he's the villain.
Yeah.
You see how after all this, me and Hannah bickering, you see how she tries to get back on my good side. Sorry. Like, let me go ahead and compliment Chris Hemsworth to end this off. I'll get back on Larry's good side real quick. Hold up.
And I'm like, I now see the vision for Anya Taylor-Joy's Furiosa.
I'm still not there. I don't know, man.
I see it. If it was not
Furiosa, I would be fine. Like a completely new character, but like Charlize is
If I pretend like I haven't seen Charlize do it, then I see the vision. I really get it. So now I'm just like I'm separating the two in my mind, and that's why I really get it now. But yeah, that's not the point.
You can't separate. They're Furiosa.
I think they really messed up with casting a very thin actress. I think that's where the disconnect is for me, because Charlize just got so like physical for the role.
Yeah.
And she was huge.
There
was just such a grit to her Furiosa. Yes. Like, I don't know. She just had a grit in those fight scenes that we'll see. Maybe Anya will be able to capture it, but
I don't know. I just don't think I love Anya Taylor-Joy. I've loved her, and like I'm a real big fan of Anya from like the Split movies and like everything she's been in. I'm a big fan of Anya. But she don't got the aura for this. It's not clicking. That last shot in the Furiosa trailer where it's like the titles and spike behind her and she's looking at the camera, I'm like, I don't know, man. Feels like a cosplay. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. Everything else about the movie looks great though.
But I agree, it just doesn't feel right. Chris is killing it in that trailer. You could tell he is committed. They put them prosthetics on him and, you know, put that little wig on, and he's feeling his like over the top villain oats.
I am so excited to see his performance. I'm so fucking excited.
Have you, we'll get into mailbag later. Have you, Larry, have you been, I'm not going to ask Hannah, but like, have you been trying to go to those Spider-Man movies back in theaters? Have you been to some yet?
Well, I've been to none, Larry.
What?
About that.
Is Larry a Raimi trilogy.
Yeah, I feel, well, no, well, I feel like with Spider-Man, I'm always like, I really like the movies, but, you know, I feel like there's just so many other people who are like Spider-Man, like Dwayne and Leo and stuff that are like, mm-hmm. Spider-Man is their G, the like top of the top.
Nah, that's my, that's
and no,
my
I really bro. Like the Raimi films.
Chill on me, bro.
But I have not gone to them.
That's crazy.
Don't they just show them for like 3 days and that's it?
4 days. It's been, yeah, it's like Monday through Thursday now. Initially, it's supposed to be the Mondays, and then I guess they just, well, was like, God. Ah, this is...
I think that's why I missed the first one, is because it was on the same day as a mystery movie, and you know,
yeah, and it was like
mystery movies.
So I thought it was only Mondays until I realized they were all, yeah, they were 4 days, Monday through Thursday, and I was mad because I had booked Spider-Man 2 for Wednesday, and I went to it, and then I'm sitting down, and then I go on my app and I'm like, ugh, I don't know why. I was just random, like, what's playing in IMAX? It was fucking Hereditary. I was so bullshit.
There's
and then
so
I was
many
like,
old movies in theaters right now.
But then I was like, oh my God, when are they doing it again? And they did it for one night and I am baffled. I would have loved to have seen Hereditary on like a gigantic screen.
Like,
I am baffled.
One night, and I think they announced it like the same night that it was playing.
Oh, it was just quiet. Horrible. I think the next one is Uncut Gems. But like,
I don't need to see that.
I don't need to see, like, I love Uncut Gems, but I don't need to see it on a big screen. Hereditary is like something I want to see that shit on like a big screen, which would have been interesting to me. Same with Ex Machina. They had that too a couple weeks ago. But I don't know why they didn't tell anybody about them. It was really weird to me.
Speaking of weird tickets, Dwayne, you know how I got all excited and told you about how Fall Guy, that I found when I like searched it when we were looking for the date on the box office show, and I found that screening, that like early showing, one of the theaters.
Yeah, Wednesday, right? Wednesday, right?
No, it was for yesterday, and I bought my ticket. It's not at an AMC, ooh, so I straight up purchased the little ticket. Me and my grandma went down there yesterday, and they're like, oh, this is for next Thursday. I was like, no, it's for Friday the 26th, right here on the ticket. And he's like, oh, no, we don't have it yet. Did you get this off our website, or where'd you get this from? I was like, yeah, purchased it directly off your website. Yeah, no, they didn't have it. They didn't show it. So I went all, and that theater is like not that close. It's not 2 hours, but it's like a nice little 30 plus minute drive to get down there, especially in traffic at rush hour, like I had to do.
Ooh, I would have been mad as hell.
Yeah, so I bought that little ticket for Fall Guy. I thought I was gonna be seeing it yesterday, was all excited. No, they didn't. I don't know what, a glitch on the website or some shit. I don't know, but no, now I'm seeing it Wednesday at the early access thing.
They saw the tracking and they said, man, pull that shit, man.
Ooh, I was
just like, what happened with Black, with Black Adam? We, that Comic-Con of 2022, me, Leo, Zach Pope, man, we got our, they said, y'all are going to be the first people to see Black Adam in IMAX later on this year. And we were like, awesome. And then you get your ticket, when it came up to Black Adam and it's time to get a ticket, that shit was not working. So they said,
remember Dwayne, and he tried to use his code. He came in the chat pissed.
They started tracking and they said, man, pull them shits back. We need 6,000 tickets for free. Hell no, man. Pull them shits back.
Hell no.
That's what happened to you, Larry, because these theaters are Fall Guy.
Oh, man. I was like, what? I drove down here for nothing, bitch. Ooh.
Yeah, these theaters for Fall Guy are looking slim. You know, slim pickings.
And like, he's like, oh, Thursday, you can see whatever you want on here. I'm like, bitch, I already seen all those. I wasn't here for and that. I've seen everything you're showing.
And then this Thursday for Fall Guy, it's like four people in this IMAX theater. Yeah, bro.
The little early access is pretty full where I'm going, but I don't know about the first, like, Thursday.
Mine just.
So wait, Dwayne, you finally got your acceptance? Speaking of Comic-Con?
I did, but they playing in my face for real.
Oh.
They cut down my, I don't want to do this on live, but they cut down they cut down my allotments because I had to reapply this year, and I hit them up and they're like, oh my God, we have limited. So I literally only have two.
Oh.
I have two allotments. That's it.
Oh yeah, they play in your face.
This is why, like, a couple years ago I was like, bro, can y'all just apply by ourselves? Cause they always play in somebody's face. Because I know they won't outright give me, like, last year they gave me four, right? Because I had to beg them for like one more. But then, like, the years, I was like, guys, just apply yourself. Like, that's why Larry, you good. You know, you got your own thing. And Leo has his own thing. He don't got to worry. Nobody got to worry about it. And then I think Alex applied this year, but they haven't told him, like, what's happening to him yet. So I have no idea what's going on. I don't know, Larry. I might have to.
No.
I don't know, man. It's not looking peachy this year, man. Comic-Con is just, I don't know. I'm not feeling the bug for it this year.
Don't worry. Once we start getting closer, you'll feel the bug.
What they gonna do? Like, nothing. What, that Marvel will come up like, oh, here's Captain America. I don't give a fuck about Captain America 4, bro.
We've already talked about it. I mean, Marvel and DC better come with something, because both of those companies are a mess right now. They better come with something to get excited about, because
I think James already said he's not doing Comic-Con this year.
Well, he ain't, but he better send somebody. Because what? DC, bitch. If y'all don't come to Comic-Con this year, I don't know. This rebranding.
Everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
How do we get you back out there?
What do you mean?
To San Diego.
I want to go. Ooh. I'm going to be at the wedding, and I'm going to doot-doot-doot.
The thing about San Diego, though, is that if, I don't know, bro. If Alex don't get, I don't know, somebody going to have to take the fall.
Well, let me see. I'll have to check. I need to see if they gave me another allotment, and then somebody could come on mine.
That would be great if they did. Because sometimes they do, like,
gave me two. Probably they gave
sometimes
me
they two. Do like two just in case, like, because some people roam around with like their editor and whatnot. Yeah. So like they do an extra for that. But I don't know. I don't know, man. But then I'm like, man, I don't know. If Marvel's like, hey guys, here's Captain America 4 and Ironheart, I'm gonna be like, what the fuck? And then if DC is like, oh my god, here's Superman Legacy and Swamp Thing, I'm like, what? So I don't know,
they gotta do something for Superman Legacy. Shit, I'm telling you, it's gotta be something for these things.
They just started on Peacemaker season 2, so they're definitely not gonna bring anything from Peacemaker. Unfortunately.
Ah, man, it's looking, I don't know, Larry, but
don't play with me. Meanwhile,
the only thing that I was like,
last year, I was just bopping around to those little experiences more than
Larry, me and Larry.
Man, I think, Larry and Hannah was like, Larry was signing up for everything. Mm-hmm. Larry, you don't have to do everything.
The thing is, too, is that Larry, he's like, if nobody else will go with me, Hannah will go with me. And I was like, I sure will.
And then, like, one time we came out the exhibit hall, and they're like, we're going to this interview. And I'm like, man, I'm going back to the room, bro. I'm going to
go do that. I also went back to the room. I said, good night.
Interview with the vampire thing.
Me and Hannah got our little drinks. We got our little beignets. We got a poster. We were having a ball at that little interview with the vampire.
It was so fun. I'm sorry. We had so much fun.
The only thing that I would like,
at that point.
I know.
Larry's a mess. The only thing I would go to for like the experience is if we can all see Deadpool and Wolverine together.
Oh, really?
Because it's coming out that weekend. Ooh, that's the only thing.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it is. It's coming out that weekend.
Be super fun.
That's what I'm saying.
Shit, though, it's in them damn San Diego theaters.
Not the first one. Not that heatless one. The AC-less one. Hannah and her one of my bills to fan herself.
Can you imagine? I mean, that would be pretty iconic to go from like seeing Barbie and Oppenheimer open weekend together, and then next year seeing Deadpool and Wolverine. Ooh.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, truly, at this point, even if I didn't like get like allotment for Comic-Con, I'd still go just to like hang out with you guys. Like, girl, I'd be like, hello.
I mean, I'm gonna try to reach out again to ask for like one more, just like one more, and then like I'll like be satisfied.
Like, yo, because we're a Comic-Con. We're a podcast.
Like, that's what I told them. And then like, oh, dang, we have limited spots this year. I'm like, yeah, you see, I tell me that every year. And then I go there and it's like the same amount of people that was here last year. It's like 100,000 here deep talking about, limited spots. I don't know, man.
They're pushing up their glasses while they take
them. Yeah. Well, actually.
Well, actually.
Oh no, man! Now they're gonna listen to this and be like, "Oh, okay, all
right." Yeah, actually, literally,
Dwayne, somebody, we revoked the two that you got. They're back. We're not letting you go nowhere.
Chill, San Diego. I mean, I love all y'all. Y'all are great. Yeah, it's a great.
Somebody
vibe.
On the like San Diego Comic Con team is gonna be like, "Okay, let me tap into New Cinemania."
Let me tap in and take that shit off. Like that would be actually insane. Anyway, we gotta get into that Challengers bra.
Do we have mailbag?
Ooh.
Kind of. It's all the shit you hate, Anna. You know the deal. Whoa. Whoa. You want me to tap in? All right, man. You said it. Hold on. Send me at 2018@outlook.com, everybody, for mailbag. If you want to send us a question, this person here says, what were you guys' thoughts on Deadpool and Wolverine trailer?
Oh, my God.
Same shit, Anna. What you thought?
That's all I care about. I feel like, in my mind, people don't care anymore. And then I'm like, no, every time we get mailbag, y'all, that's all y'all care about.
It's the Deadpool. Yeah, they want to ask, they asked me and Alex yesterday on Hero Hour, what's the cameos you want to see?
Bitch, I don't care.
We've seen about 50 million of them already.
I said I would be happy with, like, I said I would be happy personally with Daphne Keene coming back for I would not be mad at that.
Man, how do you two feel? Here's the question.
About what?
Ooh. When it comes
not
to
Larry
like,
with his own mailbag.
Fuck y'all.
Loki, okay, finally I saw the trailer. I think the trailer's fun. It's fun. Whatever.
The
I
new one?
I haven't seen the new one. The OG trailer. You know me. I don't. Y'all, I unlike this is part of why what Dwayne is talking about. I go to the movies. At least I'm in there once, probably twice, maybe even three times a week. I don't need to go to the internet and watch a trailer when it drops. I'm gonna see that shit. I'm gonna see it like 10 times, so I'm good. I don't rush for trailers. But so I haven't seen the new one yet. I think the first one's fun. But how do y'all feel about the big talking point, the big arguments going around right now about Logan's legacy due to Deadpool and Wolverine?
Me personally, I feel like. Like, we do this, like, every one of these movies that come out, you know? Somebody gonna say, in 10 years, I kid you not, somebody's gonna be like, Robert Downey Jr.'s back. Look what this has done to the Endgame legacy of Robert Downey Jr. Oh, my God, Chris Evans is back. Look what this has done to the ending of Endgame and everything that it's built. And I'm like, brother.
I guess I
don't think it matters, dude.
I think that it would be different if it was farther down the road. Like you just said in 10 years, I'd be fine with in 10 years. If
that just happened in like 2 years. So.
But like Logan, 2017 is like, it's a good while ago, but I just, it's still very, like, every time I watch that movie, it's very raw to me. Because I've watched Wolverine and the X-Men movies literally my entire life. I'm 23. Those movies started to come out the year I was born.
Don't say that to me.
I know,
like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was at least, like, 5 years old, six years old. This is crazy.
Damn it.
Talking about she grew up. Girl, we grew up with that shit. What you mean?
Not her putting us in the nursing home like this. Damn.
Y'all are ash at this point. Like,
shit, for real, though. Damn.
But, like, those are like the first movies I remember watching, like ever, is like Spider-Man and X-Men, because like I said, those movies like came out the year that I was born. And my dad was like super into them. So for me, like Logan was just such a moment, an emotional moment, an end to a part of my life almost. So seeing the Deadpool Wolverine trailers, it's not the like context of how they're bringing him back, because I know a lot of people are like, but it's like a different universe and it's not like the same Logan, and I'm like, okay, it doesn't matter, it's still Hugh Jackman. Like, it was like a book close to a part of my life personally, and I feel like it's that for a lot of other people too. So it doesn't feel exciting. It kind of feels like a little stepping on something that you shouldn't step on, if that makes any sense. And I know it's like Hugh Jackman's excited about it, and I love that he's excited about it, but it's just not something that I'm super excited about.
You know who I'm blaming for this? I'm blaming the damn Academy. It's their fault.
Yeah.
My boy tried. He tried. And he did one of his, like, he did probably his best performance in a film. And they, who the fuck did they nominate that year? I was not an Oscar lord.
2017 was a good year. I would say Denzel and Gary Oldman could have gotten out. Hugh Jackman could have taken.
I was mad about Hugh Jackman, but I was low key like, because the one I thought had a shot and didn't get in was Patrick Stewart. I was like,
No. I'm not talking about his performance in Logan.
Oh, you're talking about Prisoner? Oh,
my brother tried. Okay. He tried. He was like, man, I'm going to give you one of the best performances. Of course, Logan, he was fantastic. I'm talking about Prisoners. And then they were like, no, superhero guy. Yeah. Sorry. And then he was like, all right, fine. I'm going to go back into my bag. So I blame them.
Logan, still the only comic book film to get nominated for a screenplay. Hey. Yes.
Which is crazy. Excellent movie.
And by the way, James Mangold, get up. Like, you have not given me anything of substance since Logan, and I'm getting angry. I love Barbie Ferrari. Hold on, wait. I love Barbie Ferrari. I forgot. 4v Ferrari, I love you. I love you. That's crazy.
That is crazy. I think they got him for DC, though, don't they? For Swamp Thing?
I think so.
They got him, I think.
I think he could do something really cool with Swamp Thing. Yeah. So, like, having him attached to Swamp Thing makes me more excited for it. Really, those type of... Oh, God. If they could just...
Dial of Destiny was just, like, super sauceless.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. Mango, you need to get up after that bullish.
Yeah.
but no, those kind of projects could be cool, Dwayne. Like, Swamp Thing, I feel like you could do a really cool, different movie if they let him. That's the caveat.
Swamp Thing to me in my mind, I'm like, Lee Winnell could have done something really cool.
Yeah, really cool.
I don't disagree that it's gonna be cool. I just don't think it's like, I think you need to come a little stronger than Swamp Thing if you're trying to like beef with the other side.
Well, don't bring it out the gate. Like Swamp Thing can't be.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I mean. It's like
I would have agreed a few years ago because Marvel's kinda like down. Right now at the same point that DC
they will never get to like DCEU levels of
no
like,
they won't pit, and they're like pit, they're up so. Right now with Deadpool so yeah
I they're mean, also DC, up right now with X-Men 97
that them last four or five years for that universe was just like the pits of hell as far as like the box office critically. It's just everything outside of it was, yeah, everything outside of it was, you know,
the discussions,
the fandoms, it was a disaster. And it's like, I feel like to come out the gate, you need to get your heavy hitters back. You need to get your Wonder, you need to get, if you go and do a new Superman, I need to see a new Wonder Woman and a new, he's starting off like with Superman, great, Supergirl, okay, cool. And then, like, The Authority.
Wow.
And then, like, Swamp Thing.
What I need James Gunn to do is lock the fuck in for Peacemaker Season 2. It's been too damn long without Peacemaker. I love Peacemaker so bad. Please, please.
What I need James Gunn to do is throw the keyboard out the window.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's what I need him to do. Just stop. Like, it's too much. He's made the whole situation wild. Like, we appreciate the quote-unquote, well, they say transparency, but it's talking in circles, so it's not really
You mean him be online. I thought you meant, like, writing.
Not for script writing. For him being online, constantly saying wild stuff. Like, throw the keyboard out, close the laptop, and just focus on your business. Focus on
You know
your
why
business.
That's also... You know why that's also a detriment to his future work is that you're creating bookmarks of things you said online that you will never do and yada yada yada, and like 2 years come down the road you're gonna do it. I mean it happens, it's life, your ideas change, and then you're gonna be like, well, what about the time when you said this? And it's like, if just to avoid all that, you could just be like, okay, well, I'm gonna move on. You know, and not say anything to anyone. Like, I don't know. I don't understand.
Especially him, because people love to troll him because of all this. So they love to jump in and get him. So they're going to troll his ass the first time one of those comments directly is, like, shown to be false.
after Guardians 3, I can't root against James Gunn. Guardians 3 was too good.
This is crazy, man.
Wait, Feige, come here. Hold on. Just because I name dropped it a second. I need you to keep watching X-Men 97. That is how you handle this team, Bish. If the live action X-Men team and feeling and all that is not up to the standard of that animated 30-minute show, throw it out and try again. Okay? Like, we're showing you how to handle these characters over here. We're going to need that energy for the live action. Thank you.
But that X-Men show, it's like now it's like they're trying to double down on it as far as like they want to do multiple more seasons and they want to like put it into the MCU. But I think that's more of a validation that the audience wants. I don't know why you waited so long about not putting the X-Men into your universe until like this year.
They've had the rights for a long time now.
Yeah, I'm like, why'd you? They've been craving for something new, and I feel like something new would have been the damn mutants. Not this damn one-off line of like, oh, Kamala, you're a mutant. What? No, they want like the Storm and Cyclops and Nightcrawler and everybody. And I think that's what the audience has been trying to tell Marvel with the love of this show. And that writer's gone, which is weird. So what are you going to do now after that writer got fired?
Oh, Lord. I know.
What was his name? Bo DeMeo?
Did we ever clear up if he was doing weird shit or if it was just they didn't like his OnlyFans?
Let the man make his guap. I don't
care. Right?
Well, no, I knew it was that. But then I heard that he, like, online was saying stuff about, like he is gay. But, like, there was some internalized homophobia weirdness that he was spouting off. Oh. I don't know. But, yeah, that whole situation was messy.
That's what I'm saying. It's too much. It's too much going on. But let's get some more. Since Hannah's all about the mailbag today, Jesus.
Sorry.
I
fight for my people.
This is crazy. Okay, this person here says, "Would you rather see Margot return to DCEU? Or would you rather her go do something in Marvel Studios?"
Margot.
Margot Robbie, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Not neither. Nienna?
I'm so, like, emotionally attached to Margot's Harley that I don't want to see anyone else be Harley. Like, to the point of, like, I'm a little monster and I'm, like, still struggling with Lady Gaga being Harley.
Not too much.
I know, I'm sorry. by the way, that trailer was so fucking unserious.
Oh my god, we haven't talked about that trailer, did we?
No.
Trailer was gas.
It's so unserious.
Man, you're such a hater. That shit was gas.
I can't take it seriously. I can't take it seriously. And the movies take themselves so beyond seriously that I'm like, you guys are unreal. Like the shot of them like dancing together on the steps and like the fucking smile, and I'm like, Yo, let's be
It's Hannah, it's cinema.
Larry, what's your thoughts?
He's muted. Oh, I thought he was like, don't do this, Larry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's another one of those trailers that, how about you stop showing me all these fucking bad boy trailers and get to those newer ones? Larry hasn't even seen the Joker trailer, and Larry's in the theater like 4 times a week. You know, I told Larry like last Monday, I was like, when I first seen the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer, I'm like, why have I been holding on to this?
That is wild.
I just think that's so insane. I mean, granted, when I went to go see Abigail and First Omen, they had a bunch of horror trailers that I haven't seen in theater. I've seen them, but I haven't seen in theaters yet. And I was happy to see them, like that Super Killer POV one. And then Long Legs. I cannot wait for Long Legs. I just really want to watch it right now.
Hannah, you
can
watch The New Strangers?
I don't know. I don't love...
It looks kind of made for me. So. I don't know.
Oh, you said you don't love the first one?
No. That's crazy. It's kind of mid to me.
That's crazy.
I will say the thing that I remember about the first one that is like ingrained in my brain is Glenn Howerton's death, because I just wasn't expecting it at all.
Did you like Pray at Night? Because now the Twitter people are like, Pray at Night's actually better, and I'm like, y'all are false, bro.
I don't like
it's Pray crazy. They on Twitter saying that.
Oh no.
I think that like the siblings in that movie are two of the most like annoying characters of all time. I do not like them. So
no, Pray at Night was disappointing as hell. The aesthetic was cool. It looked, you know, like the look was cool. Yeah, the music was cool, but the actual like everything else was not.
Yeah, no.
No, I agree. I think it's all right. I love the first one.
Well, both of the movies. I just don't give a shit about any of the characters. So like, chill. I'm not rooting for them. So
can you chill?
I'm sorry.
Not too much. The new one I don't like because I feel like they're calling it Chapter One as if like this is like their first couple of terrorizings of people. Fine.
Well, the whole point of those movies is that we don't know anything about them. So like, I don't want to.
But it's like I don't mind if you're like. I don't mind if you're like, okay, this is like their very first one. I'm like, okay, cool, great. But then what I get mad about is that they're changing all the lines. In the trailer, like in the movie, Liv Tyler, is that her name? Liv Tyler is like, why are you doing this to us? Yada, yada, yada. And then the, you know, creepy lady is like, because you're home. In the fucking trailer, I'm all amped to hear the line. I'm bouncing. I'm like, she's going to say the line again. And she's like, because you're here. I'm like, oh, that fucking sucks. That's not what she says. What was that? And they just changed it. I'm like, so it's like a reboot? What is this? And now I'm mad at it. Now I don't want to watch it. Pissed off.
I just think it goes against like what the movies are like, the whole niche of them are.
I understand where you're coming from too, as far as like it's like supposed to be a part one and then they're gonna do like another one to follow this. But it's supposed to be like a trilogy of like, didn't we already learn our lessons with like pre-planned trilogies with like The Exorcist, Believer? I don't know, man. They scratched that whole thing, didn't it?
I was like, the needle scratch that just happened. Larry, ooh, and me,
because they scratched the whole thing, and then they were like, this movie sucks, and then we're gonna just get rid of this. And I don't know, man. I feel like I don't think that's a good idea to like plan a trilogy before like you get like a reception from like the audience first. So I mean, I don't know, but all right, this person here says, are you concerned about the Blade movie? Brother, yes.
Yeah.
Girl, we've been concerned for, like, years. What do you mean?
If that Ryan Coogler vampire movie comes out before Blade...
We're cooked.
Just scrap Blade. Like, don't compete.
Did you guys see the set picture of Michael B. Jordan?
No. Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did.
Sibling Wesley Snipes so bad. And I'm like, my God.
But then my thoughts are, is I feel like he's not a vampire in it. He looks like more of a detective.
Yeah. But so he's giving Wesley Snipes.
No, he is. But I'm like, I feel like he's not a vampire. I don't know. I feel like, so it's about like vampires and like KKK and shit. Mm-hmm. And they cast Hailee Steinfeld. So Hailee Steinfeld's going to be like a racist, like, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. And like, everybody black is gonna be like vampires, something like that. I'm hoping that's what it is. I mean, I hope that's like all the black folks are vampires and they're fighting back and they're kicking ass and shit. But that outfit to me that he's wearing, I mean, when you think vampire and like black vampires, like, I don't know, man. I don't want to see him in no preppy ass outfit. I want to see them in like a trench coat, no shirt on, teeth out, everything.
Yeah, you know? Yes. Right, Dwayne jumped out. Oh, okay.
But like Michael B. Jordan, you're gonna put him in like some damn collared shirts and
you
whatnot.
Have to make him look like a sexy, like goth.
That's like, what I'm. Yes, sir.
Punk vampire, please.
That's what I'm saying. Oh my God. maybe that outfit that he's wearing is like maybe like that's before he gets bitten. Maybe he gets like a bite, and then like he's gonna have a trench coat and the fucking black boots and the fucking no shirt. And it's like teeth is going to be all crazy.
Not Hannah saying this like we don't have a, like, you know, old-timey kind of preppy black vampire in Interview with a Vampire.
I didn't say that.
Always wearing like little button-downs and vests.
Yeah, it's true. Oh my God. I fucking love Interview with a Vampire. I'm so excited for season two. I'm so excited.
This person here says, have you guys been able to catch up with any of the Rebel Moon movies? No.
Fuck no. I haven't even watched part one.
I watched part one last year.
I watched half of part one. I hated it. Absolutely atrocious. Absolutely horrible.
I feel like I was like on the more positive side compared to part one, which is surprising because, you know, not usually the case with me.
I just feel like villains. Okay, so for me, right? I don't want to like. Like as a writer, I haven't done shit with my life as a writer, but. I feel like in 2024, or like when Rebel Moon 1 came out, what was it, 2023? Yeah. I feel like there's easier ways to set up a villain than doing a rape scene. Oh, okay. I feel like we're done with that.
There's a rape scene in Rebel Moon?
It's like about to. And this is where I'm like, does that not feel like a Zack Snyder thing to do?
Well, yes.
Well, it does. If Batman v Superman was rated R, do you?
He said he wanted to.
Yeah, like, I think Watchmen has like a rape scene. It's all he knows.
Watchmen has a sucker punch.
Right. So you think if Batman v Superman was rated R, you think Batman wouldn't save some rapist? I mean, we'll like try to beat up some rapist or something like that. That's all. Like I feel like to make a villain, it's like they gotta be that, and I'm like that's just not true. We've gotten so many good villains that has nothing with sexual assault regarding them. Well, so many good ones.
Go down that road. I feel like Barbarian most recently did this very well, where they had. Sexual assault was like a huge part of the plot. Like so much of
deeper. They take it so much deeper in something like Barbarian with kind of what they do with it.
And you don't. There's not a sex scene in that movie. At all.
There's other movies that do that better too. And like I don't need to see it, but if you're going to go that route, there's just a better way to just do all this shit than like, oh, I'm gonna stick this in there, and then like the fucking savior has to come in with a gun, all badass and whatever. And it's like so annoying to me. So when that part happens, I'm like, all right, I'm out of here, dude. So no, I haven't watched any. I haven't watched the Rebel Moon. I heard they're all bad too. Yeah, but they both have like a 15%.
I heard horrible. The second one's not good. Even if I did think the first one was aight. This one, I decided once they started really talking. I just don't know what the strategy is. I am gonna watch the ending, but I'm gonna wait for them to just drop the R-rated cut. They literally make it so that why would I watch this one? Like, I'll just wait.
And why are they doing that?
The R-rated version.
Why are they doing that? Like, you are Netflix. Why are you putting a man? I know why they're doing it. They're trying to, like, capitalize on, like, that Snyder cut. Yeah. But, like, it makes no sense where, like, Zack Snyder says, yeah, let's do a PG-13 cut and then let's do a R-rated cut. Why would his fans be like, we want this cut when he's, like, it's coming in a few months?
Yeah,
it's a really backwards ideology of trying to do these movies, and
just doesn't make sense. Like, you're a streaming service; you don't have to worry about box office. You can release whatever rating you want on your platform. So
now there's a mandate because of whatever. It's really bad.
Crazy, but yeah, I'll watch it when the R-rated cut drops.
And I don't have my Netflix anymore. I'm waiting for like something to bring me. I hear that baby reindeer thing is good.
I didn't like it.
I haven't watched
it. Oh, okay. All right. Well, there it is.
Well, I mean, but we can't trust Hannah.
Oh, that's listen. I respect that. it's a true story. The guy who this actually happened to, he's starring in it. He's not a very good actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's not a very good actor.
Oh.
So. Crazy. I was like,
it's crazy. Womp,
womp.
Hannah is crazy.
That's kind of, I don't know. You would want to relive something like that?
I was also kind of struggling with that a little bit once I found out that it was actually him. I was like,
no, I did not know that at all.
You're up your own mind and deal with your trauma how you want, but that seems wild to me.
Yeah.
No, okay. I did not know that at all. That's like brand new. That's like brand news to me.
It also just kind of like seemed like, I don't know. I don't want to like seem like I'm defending the woman, but it seems a little weird to me that the creator is like he wrote it. It's just primarily his side. You know, it's only his side. of what happened. And it's just from the perspective of him, like, literally directly down to he's the one starring in it. So it's just like, I don't know. Seems a little.
I think that's a fair argument to have, or like a fair struggle to have with it. Well,
yeah.
Hey, listen, anything for me not to pay $24, you know, I'm fine.
I'll be back for Heartstopper in October.
Oh, shit. Okay, October. I got a lot of time.
Hannah's canceling hers, too.
I haven't had it for a while.
Oh, that's you just bleach. I forget.
Try again. I am the one who was paying for it for a long time.
Oh, Larry is out of pocket. Larry is out of pocket, man. Why did he do that?
I do leech off of Hulu. I don't pay for Hulu. I'll say that.
Sorry. I just had to cut down on these streaming services. It's just way too much money.
And now Disney talk about we're gonna make it a cable. What?
The fuck is going on? We just circled back. Stupid. We just circled back to what you guys were trying to eliminate. It's nuts to me. I don't know, man. it's nuts to me. But all right, we get into challengers now or what? After an hour?
Please.
Holy smokes.
Sorry.
Any more mailbag, Hannah? Jeez.
I said, are we doing mailbag? And Dwayne got defensive.
Oh, man. I was trying to get the audience to talk about two men and Zendaya. All right. Zendaya, challengers, Hannah, Larry. So I wanted to try to watch it again this weekend. Before we came on air, because I had not watched it. I watched the movie like 3 weeks ago.
I know, me too.
And it's like, you did that. Yours was like, you did the screening too, Larry? It was
literally like the first week of April.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I'm like, I'm blanking on some things.
I was there last night.
Yeah, so I'm saying I wanted to watch it again, but like today I had a driver. It was a lot today. So, and I had to work, and I'm working right now. So, Anna, go ahead, man. We're gonna swing to you. Take it away, challengers. What did you think?
Yeah, I think it's my new fave, Guadagnino. I think I need to watch it again. As of right now, I like literally was blown away because I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did because of I liked Bones and All. I didn't love Bones and All. I liked Bones and All. So I kind of was expecting this to be in the same vein as, like, Luca trying something new. And it's not going to be my fave, but I'll like it. But I was, like, literally blown away by, like, how much I was just completely engrossed with it. And I think that for Luca, this is more in vein of like a Suspiria in the way that it's pretty experimental. And it's something completely new in terms of what we come to expect from a Luca Guadagnino movie. So I was so taken with it. I think everyone is so fantastic in it. And I love the like weird non-linear structure of it. I thought it was so like exciting, and I thought that it's such a cool way to keep adding stakes throughout the film, and just like recontextualizing that match that we start with and end with. So every time we keep cutting back to it, there's just a new layer to what the relationships and the stakes. So I loved it. I loved it so bad. And it's also one of the best edited films that I've seen in a long time, especially with, like, I guess the context of the editing. It's so good. It's so good.
I think I thought initially during my first watch that that last tennis match, that editing was getting a little too wonky for me. Maybe it was the vertigo.
Maybe. I think it's purposely.
I didn't need the ball cam. I was like, all right.
Oh,
man.
I loved it. I loved it.
I'm like, I hate when cameras like fucking rotate, and I just hate rotate. Like so like for instance, everyone goes crazy for like a rotating shot, and like the camera flipped upside down. Literally, I saw people online for Madam Web at that part where like the camera flips. They were gagged over that. I was like baffled. Like that's what gagged y'all over. I don't know. So like I don't need to be a ball, you know? Just fucking shoot the shit.
I was doing backflips when that happened.
fuck, man, just shoot the shit. I was like, what's going
it
on
was,
here?
It was that, because they happened pretty close together. It's the POV shots of Patrick and Art, where, like, the camera is, like, kind of strapped to them. But it's a kind of a weird POV shot. It was a really creative, like, way to do it, because it's not really, like, centered on them or anything, and it's not fully POV, because you still see, like, kind of, there's this shot of Patrick, like, wiping the sweat off of himself, and you fully see, like, Art in the background, and, like, Patrick doing that, and it was a really cool way to do a mm-hmm. POV shot. It was that. I love the underneath the, what is it called? Is it a field? What is it?
Not a court.
That is
crazy. Not an ounce of sports in her ass, man. Not an ounce of, like, sports.
I was shook that she called it a match and not a game. I'm shook she even knew it was a tennis match.
He said, she said, what is the thing? The field? He said, the court? Not a lick of grass on that shit. Not 1 ounce of grass. She's like, the field?
I am dead.
That is crazy.
Someone else talk about the movie.
Oh man, I loved it. I mean, I came out of it buzzing. I thought it was great. There's gonna be an official review tomorrow on the podcast with the Cinemommies crew. But yeah, there. I thought it was great. I thought
You'll
I really did.
There.
I thought
it,
no, it's for the ladies.
No, I'm talking about Hannah. She piped in, talking about I'll be there.
I will.
Oh yeah. Go ahead.
They let you on, Hannah.
Huh?
Wait, what?
No, keep going. Dwayne,
he's trying to beef. He's trying to get y'all to beef. I don't know. He's doing something. But
I take bait every time.
I thought it was really good. I'm just really bummed that it's like, I don't know what we got to do for these, like, movies to get, like, more money. Does that make sense? The movie is like, first of all, wait, the other thing I want to talk about too, Larry, to you more so, why was this $55 million?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was a little bit shocked when I saw that budget, but
what in the fuck?
Probably for the talent.
I think the talent. Probably.
Who else besides Zendaya? No disrespect to my boy. Who besides Zendaya, who are we clocking here that's getting the bag?
Well, they probably had to rent out. I don't know what they had to rent out, but like renting out those tennis spaces and hiring all those little extras and ish to come on in, unless they did that for free. I don't know. But, you know, I'm not sure. But Luca said, I'm going to spend money this time, deal with it. I don't know what I'm going to spend it on, but I'm going to get the money at least. yeah, because
this is a money laundering scheme.
I mean, I guess there's more people in this, but you're like, comparatively to like even the cinematography and the sets and everything compared to Suspiria or Call Me By Your Name or any of his other films, it's not like it's like better. It's on par, you know, like it's as good as his other stuff, but he was able to do those for a lot cheaper. Yeah, and they still look just as amazing. So I'm not really sure, but maybe Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross said, give us the bag.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. I was like, damn. When I saw that budget, I was like, the only reason I brought up the budget, because the movie's not tracking great. And it's not. It looks like it's going to do like about $15 million tomorrow.
Which
like
is good
for
total.
Luca.
I think this would be like a word of mouth movie. I really do. I think
yeah, it's like a movie like I feel like with the way it was buzzed out last year, and it did suffer from a delay, but the way like that first trailer kind of just captured everyone as far as Zendaya and the two boys and they kissing and all that type of stuff, and it's raunchy, it's crazy. I thought that would garner more than, like, I think I said the same thing about Anyone But You, but Anyone But You ended up doing really well as far as the, you know, the word of mouth kind of, not from, like, I think the casuals who saw it had a good time with it, so people kept going to see it, and it didn't start off great, but I think, Larry, isn't it like over 100 million right now or something like that?
Like, worldwide, it was over 200, and yeah, stateside, it made 100, I'm pretty positive.
So I'm hoping that the same happens with the challengers, but so I guess we'll see. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I wanted to get into another screening of it this weekend, but there was just no way.
Yeah, me too. But my friends, I don't know. They're talking about it's a tennis movie. I don't like sports movies. I'm like, oh, Lord, that's not what this is, really. Like, yeah, that's used as a vehicle to tell a bigger story, a different story.
I would say, like, King Richard is more of a sports movie than, like, a challenge.
Yes.
This is definitely a fucking a drama. Right? It's just like...
I mean, I guess you could argue it's a sports movie whenever we're in Tashi's perspective, because Tashi is definitely, like, tennis is her life, and that is absolutely her, like, her end game at every point in the movie is just wanting to see good tennis and wanting Art and Patrick to be great players. But, like, when we're cutting back to Art and Patrick, it's not a tennis movie, really, because it's literally just they want Tashi and each other.
Yeah,
they. So I know, Larry, you were talking about that, but as far as like them never going like fully into that, really, because closest for me was that damn churro scene. I mean, that was a couple.
I think the sauna scene is basically like Patrick laying it all out and being like, I have feelings for...
It's very like, so it's homoerotic, obviously. I mean, clearly. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the sauna scene, they kiss, the churro. And then that final match also is very like, because it harkens back to something that... Zendaya's character says earlier in the match about like when you're playing actually good tennis on the court, which I think is actually a really cool callback.
having her lay
that down early, and then the final match of the whole thing is just that. But yeah, I mean, I have to admit, obviously, I could have done with a little bit more explicit gayness, but it's all very intended. Like, it's a gay movie without all of the gayness, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not all on the screen, but it's still, like, clear? I don't know, as an audience member. So
it feels very intentional as to what we see and what we should take away from the movie.
Now, Hannah, I have a question for you.
What?
We always give Tarantino mess for this. Does Luca Guadagnino have a foot fetish?
Does he? Was there like foot stuff in the movie? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
There's a lot of feet. Those two boys are like barefoot a lot. The same thing with Call Me By Your Name. There was a lot of feet.
So yeah, like, there's a weird scene in Call Me By Your Name of Armie Hammer kissing Timmy's feet.
And in this movie too, I'm like, oh, there's a lot. They are barefoot all the time, and it's like right in frame, like boom. And I'm like,
maybe
oh.
Luca does have a foot fetish.
I think he likes feet. I think so, because I was like, Luca, sir, I don't know if we need all of this. Maybe, okay, I mean, do your thing, boo, do your thing, but anyway.
I think, I also think this was a, I'm trying to figure out if the movie would be a lot different if you race swapped some of the leads, not Zendaya, but like if you would have gotten two black guys or like one black guy or something for like the trio. But I think the more I think about the movie, the more I feel like the way it is how it kind of have to work, because I feel like these guys, they look at her as like a woman that they'd never seen before, and they look like two preppy dudes who have been kind of they seem kind of sheltered, and then when they go to that little summit or whatever the hell it is, tennis thing or whatever, it seems
Lord,
like
not a summit, whatever the U.S. Open, like, the major U.S. Open.
it just feels like this was like if you because I saw that question being raised on some other podcasts as far as like why. Because I guess the writer was getting he got into a quote about why the lead actress had to be a black woman, and then he was getting kind of blowback as far as like not being a dark skinned black woman, since that's all you see really in tennis a lot. And I don't necessarily agree that it had to be. I think as long as we have a person of color in that role, I think it works. Had it been like a, you know, I don't think it would. I don't think it would have worked at all.
Well, because isn't there a quote from Zendaya that she said, "I like to take, like, I only take roles that are intended for white women."
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She likes to snatch roles that were originally written for a white woman or like seen as a white woman and go in and be like, actually, I'm going to take it. How about that? So I don't know for sure that that's the case, but I do know that she says that's how she makes her career choices most of the time.
Yeah. I don't know. It wouldn't really have been. I feel like a lot of tennis right now is surrounded by black women. It's feel like, you know, the big three, like they would say, like, you know, Venus and Serena, and then old girl who retired. She retired, right? Naomi Osaka, Larry.
No, she had a baby.
Had a baby. Yeah. Oh, so she's doing again. Yeah. So I feel like
Coco Gauff, like, the new superstar from America, is also black.
Yeah, I feel like American tennis surrounds black women, so that's why I think the Zendaya thing worked a lot well, because I've seen arguments about that, you know, from my people who are not of color, about, you know, kind of it's been a weird argument and stuff. Mm. But I think the movie works well when it surrounds all that.
And that is kind of interesting that the face of women's tennis for decades has been black women, thanks to Venus and Serena, because before that was not the case. But the face of men's tennis has still been very white. Like, there's not really been a non-white superstar tour. I mean, I guess, you know, you have like POC kind of, like some other races, but like not really. So I guess that's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, but I like the movie a lot. I still love Dune over it right now. Maybe if I see it again, they'll both like go back and forth. But I feel like there's so much still coming out this year that I know it's gonna, like, my top 10 is gonna get insane. But right now for me, my number one and two is Dune and Challengers. And I'm presuming this is number one now for you this year.
Anna,
where'd you go?
Sorry, I had to yell at my sister because she came in here and started yapping.
Not the Jamie cameo.
Did you all hear her?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, she literally just came in here and started yapping like I'm not recording. Yeah, it's my number one right now.
Oh, it passed Dune 2?
Yeah, girl. Sorry.
I love the way she was talking about it. It was number one over Dune.
I love Dune, and I love Denis. Me and Denis are two peas in a pod, but Luke Guadagnino is just my guy. I can't.
If you were to vote right now, which one would get your vote for best original score? Dune Part 2 or Challengers?
Oh, easily Challengers. Easily.
Leigh, do you agree with that? That is crazy to me. What the hell?
Easily.
That is crazy to me.
She had that added so much to the movie for me.
That accent gonna get me all year when Hannah talks about Challengers.
Do I say it Midwestern?
Yeah. Not the Challengers. Challengers. Man, let's go kick my ass all year. but Zendaya, I mean, she's in two right now. She's in two of the best movies of the Larry, is this in your like top five? Two?
Yeah, Challengers is in my top three.
Okay. Boom. Ooh, hold on, what's the number?
I have to rewatch the other one that's in there because I haven't seen it since the Denver Film Festival last year, but I just absolutely loved it. It's called Animal Kingdom. It's a French movie.
Oh, that's the movie you keep... Oh, yeah, I've heard about
it.
Like
this little French movie. It's so good. But I need to rewatch it. So it's Dune, Animal Kingdom, and Challengers as my top three right now.
Yeah, number one and two. My number three... Guess what, Larry? Guess what it is?
The First Omen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
My Hannah's number three being a movie she only kind of liked.
What is it? What is
it? Man.
Yeah. Hannah, like right now, that's her number three. Hannah's top 10 best and top 10 worst are the exact same. Just so y'all know. They're the same movies, just in backwards order.
That is trifling. He didn't got it's true.
So we could phrase this as right now Hannah has Challengers as the number 10 worst movie of the year.
Hannah literally turned into a damn music account. That's why.
Oh my, I don't know why, but I've just been so locked in with music.
This screamo shit, man.
I'm sorry.
All right, everyone. We'll wrap it up right here. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for joining us. That is the episode of Cinemania Live. I'll go around. Good everyone on social medias. Let's get Larry to this game. Larry, let her know they can follow you.
Yeah, if you want to hear my full review on Challengers, since it has been weeks at this point, that review was filmed fresh right out the gate. Check me out on YouTube at Chili Boy Productions, also Chili Boy Productions on Instagram, and Chili Boy YT on Twitter.
All right, and Hannah and her music journey.
Goodbye. you can follow me at RedirectedHannah on Twitter.
All right, everyone, can follow me on Twitter at SimReact94. You can follow the podcast, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Hopefully tomorrow, Larry and I can get back on this box office game. And we got the Cinemommy's review of Challengers coming out tomorrow, hopefully. They be playing, y'all. Anyway, that's it, everyone. Thank you guys for joining us. My name is Dwayne. That was Hannah, and that was Larry. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.